Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
Well, good morning. Hey, good morning. Kind of timed that off. Timing was a little off, wasn't it? It was. But hey, glad you're here. How are you guys feeling? Good? Good to be in the house. Hey, we've got people joining us as well. We got Metro in the house. Can you make some noise for Metro? What's up, guys? You know, what's cool about Metro, there's a lot of things cool about Metro, by the way, but this year's baptism story is actually coming from Metro, so we're doing baptisms in both campuses, and so make sure you don't miss next week, and even at Metro, if you haven't signed up, sign up for that as well, but you can actually not sign up, and we will still dunk you. We will do it. We've been known to do that, so we're just glad that we get a chance to do that and for you guys to step into that. So next week, do not miss that. And also, we got a live stream in the house. Can you make some noise for live stream? What's up, guys? Yes. In fact, last time we did baptism, we actually told a story of someone from Livestream who started attending our church and started being a part of our community through Livestream, and then got baptized and then actually started attending. So that's kind of the process. Is you watch online, you get baptized, then you come to church. That's the deal. That's the deal here. But I'm so glad you guys are all here. We are in, this is part three of a series called How Do I Believe? Or How Can I Believe? It's a hard conversation because we've been talking about hard things like suffering. We talked about grief last week, and this morning I want to talk about evil. So how do you wrap your faith around evil and evil people? Well, like, how does a loving God, how does an amazing God allow so much suffering, but so much evil, and allow evil people in this world? I mean, we've all asked that question, and for some of us, we've kind of walked away from a faith, or at least a passionate faith, because of that. And so this is my goal this morning, is to hopefully allow us some grace to, or an insight to wrap our minds around what does it look like to understand evil, and what's our part, what does God do, how does this even work, and why does God not just eliminate evil from this world? So it's going to be an easy conversation. It's going to be great. So let's start off by talking about evil. My daughter, she's 13. She and I were, she's right here. Okay, so. So we were watching, we were picking a movie to watch, okay? And she had the remote control, which was a rookie mistake on my part as a dad. I don't even know why I'm a dad. But anyway, so she had it. And so we're going through, scrolling through the options, and we scrolled through one movie, and it's called Pet Sematary. Anybody hear of Pet Sematary? Yeah. So I'm like, no, honey, no, we're not. I didn't call her honey, but hey, I'm like, we're not watching that. She's like, no, it's a Pet Sematary. It's a good picture of a cat. I'm like, I know you love cats. This is not a movie about pets or animals. Did you see Cemetery? It's evil. It's an evil movie. And she's like, I know. I was like, oh. And she's like, can we watch the trailer? I was like, okay, we can watch the trailer. We watch the trailer. I'm horrified by the end of it. She's like, oh, and she clicks the next option, like if you like this, you like that, like Satan made that up. But anyways, so we spend 30 minutes watching all the trailers. We saw Chucky back from the dead, Chucky from the hood, Chucky back again. I'm like, what is going on? I'm sleeping with you tonight. Like, I'm like, I'm scared. She's loving it. And I'm like, what happened? How did you? No, see, I don't know what it is, but scary movies, I don't know. I don't know if it's a white thing, okay? Or is it brown? I have a theory. Brown, as in Middle Eastern. We don't need scary things in our life. We have real life crisis in our. You know what I'm saying? some of you people might be bored. You're like, I need something in my life to scare the crap out of me. And so we don't need that. We got real life issues. Can I get an amen from all the brown people? Anybody? Yeah. Let's just throw in black people too. Let's just throw in everybody. Yeah, we just don't need that. I mean, Madea does Halloween. I get that. I can do that. But not the scary, evil stuff that you're like, this could actually be real. And I'm pretty sure they just added me on Facebook or Instagram. You know, like I'm like, this person is real, out, really out there. Anyways, so evil is, it's interesting because we have a peculiar relationship with evil, like humans do, because we are fascinated by it, but we don't like it at all. Like, we're fascinated, but we're also frightened by it. We are curious, but then we're also critical of it. We forbid evil. No one likes it. No, it's not cool. No, evil's wrong. But then when we practice it, you know, we're entertained by it and then also disgusted by it. And so when it comes to evil, it's all over the place, right? So what is evil and who's evil? And so some of us have like this idea of like supernatural, unnatural things. You think of evil and evil things, and others go, well, I'm just close to home here. We just think of mass shootings, and you go, that's just evil. There's so much evil. You think of violence. You think of human trafficking, slavery. You think of systems that are just set up to, you know, just cut people and not allow them to move forward in life. And I mean, you think about power and the perversion of it, and we all think of people and we see evil. The problem with that is that it's so hard to see evil when it's in people or in other people. It's hard to see if it's in us. And so we all have definitions of it. And so even not just us, not just the U.S., but the world has it. And so there's theology out there, or not theology, but like this idea out there about evil. How do you define evil? What is evil? Is it just the absence of good, or is it the toleration of bad? What really is evil? Carl Jung, who is, you know, he's been quoted so many times, especially in college, a psychologist and he actually wrote a book called Answer to Job. Job was the character we talked about last week. And he talks, and in there he says the evil, which he says evil is the dark side of God. And so I kind of understand what he's coming from, because a lot of religions out there, and even just kind of like maybe a psychological thought out there or a spiritual thought out there, is the idea that every good and everything pure does have kind of an evil thing in it. It's the yin and the yang. If there's a balance because of that. And so I don't know what you think of it, but you think of like, no, evil is this person or this thing, this entity or this action. But just so you know, everybody has a different opinion about what evil is. For example, growing up as a Muslim, in Kuwait, so if you know anything about the Middle Eastern culture, I grew up in a Sunni Muslim theology, which is two major groups in Islam. Sunnis are, we're the better ones. I'm just joking. Actually, we are, okay? We are. Because the Shi'i, I mean, if you're listening and you're Shi'i, I love you, but Shi'i, like, they like, flagellate themselves. Like, they like, hurt themselves, and we're like, no, we're vain. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. So Sunnis are the good guys, I would say. Anyways, but Sunnis have this theology with evil, which is disturbing. They believe that any action or all action is neutral. All action is neutral unless God deems it evil. So any action, whatever someone does, it's neutral until the God, Allah, says this is okay or this is not okay. But if he deems it, he will call something that you and I might call evil, he might call it good. And so it just kind of, it's blurry, isn't it? You can see the logic there. It gets really hard to find out what's actually, no. Regardless, in not just in this world, not just in this universe, in the multi-universe, in Infinity War and Avengers world, it is wrong. It is wrong. This thing is just wrong. You should not do this, regardless who you are. Well, they have a different view about that. And you and I do too. So what do we do? What do we do when we want to understand why God allows evil and terrible things to happen, and quote-unquote horrible people to exist. We've all thought that. And what does Jesus say about it? What does the scriptures say about it? And one guy that I talked to just recently, he was like, you know what, let me just say this. I have a very hard time believing in a God who I think just sits around and watches people die. Now, let's be honest. Have you ever thought that, right? Like, I just don't know. So let's dive into that. Let's figure out what does Jesus say about this? So what I want to do is I want to, again, give you Jesus' definition and or his context when he talks about evil. And so what I'm going to read you is a passage of scripture where it's quoting Jesus, but the context is it's him, it's his disciples, the people he's been talking to. It's also the crowds of people who want a healing, they want something from him, but there are also religious people there. And a lot of times he does these stories, he tells and speaks about the kingdom of heaven, but this time I'm not saying he didn't have enough coffee and or he had a bad day, but Jesus is like in a mood. And you know what I mean? He is in a mood. He's in a mood. And so what I'm going to read to you, you might have never read before, but it is, I think it's pretty fascinating. The reason why I think it's great is because I wasn't in that crowd. So I'm good. I'm not in that crowd. Because he's talking to religious people and Pharisees, which technically I would be one because I'm a pastor, so I'm officially, you know, I'm a leader of a spiritual community. And then you got spiritual people, right? The Pharisees, right? So maybe some of you guys. So I don't know. He's just talking to religious people. But this is how he starts off, okay? So this is Matthew 23, chapter 23. Can you say 23 just to say it? 23. Nice. Okay, so Matthew 23. Now, I want you to also know that Jesus, this passage is in the middle of his work, his ministry. What that means is this isn't like him starting off. He's been doing this for a couple of years. Okay, he's been doing what he does for a couple of years. And he's been called a lot of things. One in particular is this idea that he is called the devil himself. Because of the amount of demon, all kinds of demon activity. He was casting out demons from here and there. And you remember the whole legions and all the scary movie ideas we got from the New Testament, by the way. Anyway, so this is Jesus. And they're telling him, basically, the reason why you can talk to demons and the reason why you can cast them out is because you are one. You are one. So this is the kind of, like, it's been building up and building up. So I want you to know that. And now this happens. So it's been going on for a couple of years. And then this is Jesus. He sees the crowd and he starts off. You got who there? You got the crowd, religious people. Jesus starts off. And then this is where you pick it up. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. Stop right there. Oh, yes. So if you're a religious leader, you're like, yes, we are. Thank you so much. Finally, some truth coming out of this guy. Apparently, demons can say something true. Okay, this is right. This is right. This is right. This is it. They're like, okay, I like this. You change your tone. He keeps on going. So, practice and obey whatever they tell you. Yeah, I like this guy. You know, and the Pharisees are like, you know what? We thought of killing him, but I think let's let him live. But Jesus keeps on going. He says, but, don't follow their example. Oh, what? For they don't practice what they teach. What? Yeah, they don't smoke what they're selling. They're not doing that. No, it's not happening. That was a drug reference. I'm sorry. Okay. I don't know. It just comes out. Metro, you guys got it. Not that you guys are all drug dealers. I'm not saying... Okay, let's go to the Bible, okay, people? Let's go to the Bible, okay. So they crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Okay. He keeps on going. Everything they do is for show. Okay, if you're a religious leader or a Pharisee, you're like, this is not going well. This is not, why did I get up this morning? Like, why are we here? Then he keeps on going. It says, on their arms, they wear extra wide prayer boxes with scripture verses inside, and they wear robes with extra long tassels, and they sit, and they love to sit at the head table at banquets. Let's stop right here. What did he just say? He threw out a whole lot of things. So this is, again, this idea of like these prayer boxes. He's not talking about cardboard boxes that people carry around. He's actually talking about bracelets. So in the Middle Eastern culture, again, you know, being growing up Muslim and being a part of the Arab culture, like Jewish people and Arabs would have similar practices because we all come from the Arab Abrahamic faith. And so these prayer boxes that he's talking about are actually like where we get these bracelets from. So they're cloth things that are made. Like this bracelet was made, handmade by Aryan from Metro. And this is as my Pakistani flag and the Kuwaiti flag colors in it. So this is special. And the boxes that he's talking about are actually intentional boxes that they would make out of thread, but they would make them in the shape of a box. So it was like a cloth cotton box, but it wasn't a box, it was a square. And there were a couple of practices that people would do, Muslims and Jewish people. They would take, at least Muslims, they would take a section of the Quran, or they would write a section of the Quran, a particular verse, and they would put it in the box. And these kids, if you ever been to the Middle East, sometimes you'll see kids were having these necklaces made out of cloth, and they look like squares. They're actually scripture in them. And so my dad, for example, early on when he was young, he got sick, and they didn't think he was going to make it, and people were freaking out. They pierced his ear, and they hung a prayer box in his ear. And it was a couple of things. Number one, it was to rebuke or to ward off evil spirits. Okay, it's a superstitious situation too. They would do that. So it's not just like we are holy, but we are against everything that is holy. We repel it. Does that make sense? So it's not just a cross, the symbol of my faith. No. This is also like cloth, and this is also a cross like I'm going to come against vampires, like that kind of a situation. So it's like the extreme. Like we're not just holy, we're against evil. So Jesus, when he says this, he's saying these guys, this is what they do. They wear not these small ones, they wear extra big ones. Because they want to tell people, they're just holy, they're against every kind of evil, and they are people who are against it. They are eliminating evil. They're shunning evil. They're agents of God trying to come against evil. He said, that's what they think they're doing. And they wear these tassels because they want the credit for it. And they come in banquets and they sit there because they want people to know how special they are. So he keeps on going. And they sit where? They sit in seats of honor in synagogues. They love to receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces and to be called what? Called what? Rabbi. They love that. Why? Because it's a sense of we teach this. We are totally against evil. So if there's any people who is trying to get rid of evil, it's what? It's them. That's what they say. But then he goes on. He says, but here's the deal. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law, you Pharisees, hypocrites. Okay, he just said it. He goes on, he says, you shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You won't go in yourselves. And you what? You don't let others enter either. Okay, what's going on here? This is good. He's in a mood. He's in mood. Okay, are we done? No, I'm not done yet. Let's keep on going. He says, what sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law, you Pharisees, hypocrites. We got it. You're talking to us. Got it. Then he goes on. He says, oh, and this one, friends, this is scary. This is convicting in a sense, even to our culture. This is, let me just read it. Look, it says, for you cross land and sea to make one convert, # mission trips. Then, you turn that person, you ready for this? You turn that person into help me out with this one, friends, into what? Twice the child of hell. that you yourselves are. Oh, yeah, I just cussed. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you make them worse than you are. And then he keeps on going, oh, I'm not done yet, yo. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law, you Pharisees, hypocrites. You are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens. But you ignore the more important aspects of the law. Like what? What are you talking about? Like how about this one? Like justice, mercy, faith. You should tithe. Yes, you should tithe. Yes. And if those of you who wanted a sign, that's a sign right there. You should tithe. Okay. But then he goes on. He says, but do not neglect the more important things. There's more important things. Then he goes on. He says, blind. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Blind guides. You strain your water so you won't accidentally swallow a gnat, but you swallow a camel. Whoa, hold you, dude. You're hitting close to home here. He's getting more and more. He is definitely in a mood. He keeps on going. You know what? You blind Pharisees, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, then the outside will become clean too. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites. He just keeps on going. For you are like what? Whitewashed tombs. Beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with what? Pet cemetery. You're what? You're filled with what? You're filled with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurities. And then he keeps on going, friends. This is interesting stuff. Outwardly, you look like religious people. You look like church people, outwardly. Anybody know what church people look like? Bless their hearts. Right? We know what they look like. We do. We are some of them. Okay. But inwardly, your hearts, what? Are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites. Hypocrites. For you build, and this is where he gets super personal. He says, you build tombs for your prophets, your ancestors killed. What? He's like, let's talk about grandma. Let's talk about your family. And you decorate the monuments of godly people, your ancestors what? Destroyed. And then guess what you do? And then let me just talk about how evil and weird, strange you are. And then you say, if we had lived in the days of our ancestors, we would have never have joined them in killing our prophets. But in saying that, you testify what? Against yourselves that you are indeed the descendants of those who, what? Murdered the prophets. And then he gets a little like, little thug here. He goes, go ahead and finish what your ancestors started. Like, I wonder right there if he's saying, you're going to kill me. I just go ahead. And you think he's done. You think he's like, oh, all right, someone take him. Let's feed some people. Let's do something. Let's get a blind guy in here, heal him. Let's do something. Let's break the tension. No, Jesus isn't in a mood. He goes on, he says, what does he say now? Snakes. Is he name calling? Oh, yes, he is. Is this Jesus? Yes, this is Jesus. Jesus, your homeboy, Jesus? Jesus, baby Jesus? Yeah, Jesus is Jesus. He's like, snakes. Then he doesn't even stop there. He's like, sons of what? Vipers. Another translation is a brood. It's like sons and daughters. It's like, and then he goes, how will you escape the judgment of hell? He's like, what? Therefore, I'm sending you prophets and wise men and teachers of religious law, but you will kill some by crucifixion. Hint, hint. And you will flog others with whips in your where? In your synagogues. You will practice evil. You will murder people in holy places. Who's in a mood? Jesus is in a mood. Chasing them from city to city. And as a result, you will be held responsible for the murder of all godly people of what? Of what? Of what? All of us. Of what? All time. And then he tells them the context. He says, from the murder of the righteous Abel, which was the first documented murder in the Old Testament, to the murder of Zechariah, which was the last documented murder in the Old Testament. He's like, and everyone in the middle, you're the one. You're the one. You're trying to get rid of evil in people's hearts and minds. You're evil. You're the worst kind. For God so loved the world. What happened, Jesus? He is mad. But then, let me read you where he ends. And then verse 37, he turns. He goes, oh, Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. And then he says this to them, how often have I wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings? But what? But you will not let me. And so what is God doing here? See, he's questioning our thoughts of good people and evil people. He's questioning thoughts of, like, does God, why doesn't God get rid of evil people? He's questioning all of those things, isn't he? He's basically saying, here's the issue. The issue is that the best people in your world, the people who are the Pharisees and religious law, who give their whole lives to being pure, to come against evil, to wear all these prayer boxes and all these things, they're actually evil. So what do I do? You're asking me, why should I get rid of evil? Here's the problem. Evil needs human hosts to exist. That's part of the issue. You want me to, okay, I'll tell you what, you don't believe this? I mean, he's basically saying, there is an evil out there, there's an entity out there, but what the evil that's manifested in this world is because of the host it lives in. And if you don't believe this, I'll tell you what, I'll just go with you. Why don't I just get rid of evil? Here's a plan. Let me throw this out. Let's do this. Let me get rid of all the people who are evil, okay? And I know it's going to take a while because you're like, no, they're evil. They're evil. They're evil. They are evil. You know, we'll all ask all the news stations to tell them who's evil. We'll figure it out. We'll dwindle it down. We'll whittle it down. We'll whittle it down to a few people. We'll just a few people. I know I might get some wrong, but tell you what, we'll just get a couple of people. And then just to make sure that evil does not exist ever, well, let's just get rid of some animals too, because we know cats, number one, evil, right? Anybody? No? My daughter's like, no, we have two cats. Please, someone save me. Anyway, so, okay, we'll keep the cats. I'll tell you what, because there are some animals that are evil, we'll save two of each animal. And just a handful of people. And we'll kill everybody else. Let's see how that works. Oh, shoot. Oh, yeah. You remember that story? The whole story was, that don't work. What happened? Anybody know the story for extra credit? Anybody, the first, they got done, dry land, everybody's good. The first thing the dude does, Noah, he gets what? He gets wasted. And naked. Naked, I believe, is the term here in the South. Naked. So what does it prove? Number one, everybody gets naked when they get drunk. No, that's no point. Write that down. Number two, it doesn't work. The whole point of the ark story is like, this doesn't work. It doesn't work. The only way it would work There's only two options. One, I kill everyone. I kill them all. I kill them all. And I never create you again. Or I give you the one thing that can eradicate evil. Me. And I make your human body the vessel of my presence. And I put all of my power in you. Like the power who raised Jesus from the dead. I put everything. And I put in you and I pursue you and I chase after you and I interact with you. I have a relationship with you with one thing which is stronger than any other thing, which is love. And I just pour it all over you. Because if I do that, then there is a chance that you can actually eliminate evil. Or I eliminate you. And so here's the thing. I know we want to ask, hey, why does God allow evil? Why does he allow us? Some would say we're the cruelest of animals. We actually have the capacity to do good and know what's good and what's wrong. We have the capacity. Humans have the capacity. Have the capacity like no other thing created to hold the divine. To be human is divine. You can't deny it. You become the temple of his presence. So he's like, here's what I need you to do. I need you to stop evil and don't allow evil. So how do you do that? Let me give you some thoughts. Okay, we have to come against the majority of thinking when it comes to evil. So we have to ask ourselves, how do we allow evil to live? We allow evil to live, number one, by being silent about it, being quiet about it. And I got to tell you this. I mean, we are silent because of fear, insecurity, cynicism. Cynicism is like, I don't want to say something about this. I don't want to say something about this. I don't want to post something about this. I don't want to talk about this. It doesn't matter because I'm just another voice. It's just another voice. It's another shooting. It's another thing. It's another thing. It's another problem. It's another whatever. But we are silent about it. Or it's insecurity. I don't have the right words. I'm not quite sure. I might be misunderstood. People might think, whatever. I mean, and I've fallen into that as well. And then it's fear of like, pushback, fear of people not liking you. And I got to be honest with you, just being flat out honest with you. I've been here for 20 plus years. And the first 10 years, I guess, or more, when I would see things happen in our society that I felt like I need to speak up on, I wouldn't. And I'm just going to be honest with you. It was because of fear. Because I don't know if some of you understand or not, but I'm an immigrant. And my whole, first 10 years was, man, I just didn't want to become a U.S. citizen. Don't throw me out of the country. And then when 9/11 happened, I lived years in this thought of, I'm going to get kicked out. So whenever I would get stopped for a traffic violation, not that I was, I don't know what I was doing. Maybe I have a lead foot. I don't know. Jesus gave it to me. Anyways, but I would be a little nervous. I mean, I joke about, traveling, being randomly selected, which was never random, for security checks and things like that. I didn't want to talk about it, and I didn't want to address it, and I was like, I just play it off. And so I find myself even now going, I don't want to say certain things because people might just, I was scared. Honestly. And now I'm like, dude, I don't even care anymore. I'm good. I don't think they can kick me out. I don't think so. Because you never know. I don't know. You never know. But my problem is that I'm Pakistani, number one. And I have an Arab background. And I grew up Muslim. So I've got this terrorist kind of whatever. And even to this day, I have to convince people at Mosaic, hey, I'm not a sleeper terrorist. When I go to church planting conferences and they talk about all their difficulties, I go, how many of you have been told by people, or I've had people confess to me, crying, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, for years I thought you were a terrorist. And at that point, what do you do for those people who are crying? I don't know what to do. I want to punch them, or I want to pray for them. I don't know. It's a line. It's like, it depends on my mood. But friends, as followers of Jesus, the people who in history have written more songs against fear are the most fearful people. So let's not, when it comes to evil, let's not be quiet about it. So when you're, don't be silent. You tolerate it also when you, you let evil live when you tolerate it. So you're either silent about it or you tolerate it. And tolerate it is tricky. Tolerate it is when you say, oh, well, you know what? I mean, it's not that bad. It's not, they didn't really mean that. This is not, you know, and when we see it in our kids, in our hearts, in our schools, in our workplaces, when we see unkindness and cruelty and bullying and we somehow just tolerate it, we go, you know what, I'm just going to step aside here. It's not my thing. Whatever you tolerate, you know, you create. So if you don't like your workplace and you're the boss and you don't like your house and you're the parent, if you don't like your friends and you're in that circle, you created that nonsense. Because you tolerated it. Not that you actually were part of it. You just what? You didn't do anything. And so whatever we tolerate, we create. And for some of us, we've created this. We've allowed this in our world. Number three, we justify it. So when you're silent about it, you tolerate it, and then you justify it. And this, friends, is so hard because I don't think we understand the power of justification. Because a justification is when you group people. And we group people all the time, you know? And you have people, we have language for that. Like, has anybody ever complained to you? If you're in leadership, you've seen this happen, right? You've experienced it. People come up to you and go, you know what? We just think that you should. Who is the we? Who's the we? Like, people ask me this. When they say this, I always ask, even our staff, even volunteers, like, you know, we just think, who's the we? I want to know. Just curious, who's the we? Oh, I can't tell you. Oh, and then there's no we. There's no we. You know, they will think that we are. Who's the they? Who's they? Who's the we? Who's the they? Who's the some people? Who's the some? What is that? Who are we talking about? Here's where justification works. Justification works by saying, I am other than you. You are this, I'm this. And it seems harmless. It really does. And I get it because we're all diverse and we're all unique. But as soon as we become like, you know, we are different, then it goes to we kind of know what you're doing. We know. We're in charge. We're special. We are anointed. We're chosen. Oh, we're superior. It just slowly, and you don't even know. You don't even know you're doing it. That's how evil works. All of a sudden, and then you're like, of course we are like this. Of course I get this. Of course we are. Of course they're not, because they are there. And then here happens. And when something happens to that group that you don't belong to, what do? You justify it. And when you and I take part of and benefit from the evil of our group, we can sleep at night because we justified it. We just justified it. We're not like horrible people that, oh, no, 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 no. We were silent and we tolerate and now we justified it. We just justified it. There is a power to when people agree. And if you don't understand, that's why the scriptures even talk about this supernatural power to agreeing in prayer. Have you heard of that? There's power to that. Let me explain it one way. I'll explain it this way. How many of you have any cash in your pocket? Anybody? I'm not going to take it. Okay? You get cash in your pocket. Okay? You have dirty paper that we all agreed has value. Money is fictional. Fiction means you invented it. We took paper and we said it has value. We all agree, all of a sudden has power. Money is fictional. It's not real. You're like, no. That Lamborghini is real. Yes, that Lamborghini is real. Yes, that is. And I would like one, please. But we all agreed that that paper had value. If we didn't agree, it didn't matter. You go to a different country, you say, here, and they go, we don't agree this works. When we justify it, and as groups justify it, we go, this is okay. This is okay. This is okay. This is okay. Slippery slope when it comes to evil. And then it gets worse. We use it. We use it. And it just follows it. And we don't want to, but we use it. And here's what I mean by use it. Violence and evil are two different things. I'm just going to tell you, I'm for violence. You're like, no, you're a bad. I'm for violence. Okay, let me explain it. Because violence in itself is not evil. Violence is the act of intent of harming something or someone intentionally. I'm for that. Like, for example, to protect something, I will do that. I will do that. I will be violent. That doesn't make me evil. Evil is going, oh, I'm going to inflict pain and suffering, not to this person, but to all of them. I'm going to make plans and system. I'm going to figure out a way to hurt and cause all kinds of pain, and I'm going to do this because I love God. The using part is religious people do it all the time. That's why Jesus was like, you guys are the worst, because you guys are religious people, and here's what you're doing. The amount of pain and suffering you're causing people by not letting them into heaven, in a sense, by stealing their peace and their joy, by telling them that they have to pay their way to get into heaven. They have to jump through all these things. You're the worst. And I'm so sorry for you, because you're going to get what you deserve. It's going to happen. It's the worst. You're not just silent about it. You don't just tolerate it. You don't just justify it. You actually use evil to come against evil. And that's what it does. That's what it does, because evil can make you evil. And so, friends, what do? Well, we just stop all of those things. We don't tolerate it. We don't justify it. We're not silent about it. And we choose, we figure out a way not to ever use it for any reason. And we allow God's Spirit to move us. So what does that look like for you? What does that? I was talking to a guy, and I talked to all kinds of, I have interesting friends, and he was like, man, let me just tell you. You know when Jesus was talking about turning the other cheek? I was like, yeah. He's like, you know what I think that is? I think that's bull. And he finished it. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah. I'm just going to call bull on that. I was like, okay. I get it. I mean, I understand. I don't know what that means. All I do know is that God wants us, especially people who are for good, to do something, to do the hard work in looking in our hearts and going, what do I need to do to move against evil and to eradicate it, starting with my heart? So let me pray for us. Lord God, thank you. Thank you that this morning is a morning that we can all come together, God, from people who are live streaming this, watching this, to people at a metro, to us here in this room, and even people who are watching this later on, God, as they're during the week. God, what are you saying? What are you saying when it comes to our part, my part, to come against evil in my world? So God, for some of us, it starts with, Jesus, I want to give you my heart. I want to give you my life. I'm going to start there. And for some of us, that's the confession this morning. Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I don't even know who you are. I don't know anything about you, but I give you my life. And God, I pray that you would lead us and move us by the power of your Spirit and your word. That God, that your character would carry us into dark places to rescue people and allow them to come back to the light. God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you that as we respond even this morning, you would do something in us, God, that you've never done before. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.